our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, most of you probably know that I love music. I can listen to various types of music. Now, one of my favorite rock bands is a band from the 1970s and early 1980s, a progressive rock group known as Kansas. Now, their main songwriter, Kerry Livgren, actually became a Christian. And later on, he left Kansas and then wrote his own music with Christian lyrics. Now, in one of Kerry's songs, he asks the following question about God. He asks, "How can the one I love be the one I fear?" If you remember your small catechism, you will recall that in each of the explanations of the Ten Commandments, Martin Luther says that we should both fear and love God. Now that seems like a contradiction. As Kerry Livgren said in the words of his song, "How can the one I love be the one I fear?" In our gospel reading from John chapter 8, Jesus says the following. He says, "I judge no one." But then later on in the same gospel reading, Jesus says, "I have much to say in judgment of you." Now it sounds like Jesus is saying that he both loves us and hates us at the same time. How are we supposed to make sense of all of this? Well, allow me to shed some light on this darkness. At the beginning of our gospel reading, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus says that he is the light of the world. Now, in the past two sermons for these midweek Advent services, we learned that God uses light as a symbol of himself and the salvation that he longs to give us. God also uses darkness as a symbol of sin and evil, which describes not only the devil and his demons, but also us sinners who have rebelled against God by our desires and deeds. Now, during the Advent season, we've been learning how Jesus comes into the world to shine the light of his word upon the darkness of the devil's deceptions so that we sinners might be saved. In fact, that's what Jesus is implying when he says, "I judge no one." Now, please understand, when Jesus says that, he does not mean that he never exposes our sin or that he never warns us of the consequences if we refuse to repent and trust in him. For example, in our gospel reading, Jesus said the following to unbelievers. He said, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." You see, when Jesus says, "I judge no one," he means that he rebukes us and he condemns us only in order to save us. In other words, Jesus' primary reason for coming into the world was to save sinners. For example, in John chapter 3, Jesus says, "God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Did you hear that? Jesus clearly teaches that the Father sent him into this world to save us. However, we can't receive that salvation if we cling to our sin and refuse to believe in Jesus. In fact, you need to understand what it means to believe in Jesus. You see, to believe in Jesus means more than simply acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God who was born and lived and died and conquered death and will return again in power and glory. You see, even the devil and his demons believe those facts about Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus says that we must believe in Him, what He means is that we must actually trust in Him for forgiveness and the hope of eternal life in His love. So belief is more than just knowledge of facts about Jesus. Belief is actually sincere trust in Him for the salvation that we need. What if we don't trust in Him for these gifts? Well, then we're in trouble. If we can't trust in Jesus for these gifts until we realize that we deserve His wrath, then Jesus will do all He can to help us fear Him. In 1 John it says that we love because God first loved us. In other words, God's love for us in Jesus is like a light that fills the darkness of our sinful hearts and enables us to love God in return. However, before we can receive God's love, we must first fear His wrath, or else we will see no need for His salvation. That's why the light of God's Word gives us both pain and peace. For example, the light of God's Word gives us pain because it exposes our sin and it shows us that we are God's enemies who have rebelled against Him and deserve His wrath. I admit, that's painful. However, the light of God's Word also gives us peace because it declares that we are forgiven and holy in His sight because of Jesus, who lived a perfect life for us and died on the cross in our place of judgment. Simply put, we sinners need to have a sincere fear of God's wrath against our sin if we want to truly appreciate His love for us in Jesus. The love of Jesus who moved Him to suffer God's wrath against our sin when He suffered and died on the cross for us. Kerry Livgren asked this question in one of his songs. He asked, "How can the one I love be the one I fear?" The answer is that the one who should have justly poured out His wrath upon us, that one loved us so much that He poured out His wrath upon His Son so that we sinners could be forgiven and live for all eternity as His dearly loved children. So in one sense, we fear God because when we look at the cross, we should say, "Wow, that should have been me." But at the same time, we love God because His love radiates into our hearts from the cross. The cross where we see that God loved us so much that He damned His own Son so that we might be forgiven and live forever in His love. That's why we need to realize that the love of God for sinners is at the center of Holy Scripture. But we cannot appreciate that love until we understand that God is holy and just and that He must punish sin. The solution to that dilemma was the cross. But you know, I've heard some people say the following. I've heard some people say, "Pastor, I don't like to read the Old Testament. The Old Testament is full of God's wrath and anger against sin. You see, I'd rather trust in Jesus because He's loving, He never judges anybody, He's a nice, laid-back individual." Well, when I hear people say such things, I immediately know that they have not read either the Old or the New Testament. First of all, even though Jesus indeed loved us so much that He was willing to die for us, Jesus certainly was not laid back about our sin. In fact, if you read the New Testament Gospels, you will find out that some of the harshest words of judgment and condemnation against our sin come from the lips of Jesus. In addition, even though the Old Testament does contain examples of God's hatred and wrath against our sin, I admit, the fact is, though, the Old Testament is chock full of language about God's love and mercy for sinners. With that said, I would like you to listen carefully to these words from our Old Testament reading from Micah chapter 7. Because I have sinned against God, I will bear the Lord's wrath until he pleads my case and establishes my right. He will bring me out into the light. I will see his righteousness. Did you hear that? First, Micah says that we must acknowledge our sin and admit that we deserve God's wrath. But then Micah goes on to say that God will plead our case and bring us into the light. In other words, God humbles us and convicts us of sin only so he can give us forgiveness and love. You see, God knows that we can't receive his forgiveness and love as long as we refuse to repent of our sin and as long as we have no fear of God. Listen to what King David writes about this whole thing in Psalm 32. He says about God, "Day and night your hand was heavy upon me." Now David is referring to a time in his life when he had strayed from the Lord and he was living in unrepentant sin. But you know what? God loved David too much to give up on him and lose him. So God used his hand of judgment to condemn David's sin and remind David that his rebellion deserved God's wrath. However, this turned David around. Once David feared God's wrath, he was ready to receive God's love and mercy. So David goes on to write the following in Psalm 32. He writes, "I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin." My friends, the God we ought to fear because of our many sins, this is the same God who loves us more than we can imagine, and he longs to have mercy on us. Therefore, you need to realize something. When God does use his word to convict you of sin, when the Holy Spirit does give you a sense of guilt, when God causes you to fear his wrath, he only does this to humble us so that we will seek his mercy in sincere repentance and faith. And my friends, when we come to God in humble fear because we know that our sins deserve his wrath, we can know that he will forgive us. We will find a God who loves us so much that he sent his only son into this world to suffer the wrath we deserve so that we might receive forgiveness and eternal life in his love. That is the light that Jesus brings into this world of darkness. In fact, listen to these wonderful words about God's mercy from our Old Testament reading. Micah writes, "Who is a God like you, who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea." I'd like you to listen to even more wonderful words of love and mercy from our second reading. Paul writes, "The Father has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. My friends, Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. At the end of our gospel reading, John writes these words, even as Jesus spoke, many put their faith in him. My friends, Jesus has spoken his word to you. And the result is that you have put your faith in him. So continue to hear his words, because Jesus' words are a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, the light of our world. Amen. In a moment we'll have the